before I dismiss you kids for children's church, I want you to come up here, will you please? Come on up here, will you? Come sit by me on the floor. If you're of sitting on the floor age, come sit on the floor with me. That's it. That's it. There's more. Come on. Do you know there's lots of people, in fact, you probably have some pets that really love you. How many of you have a dog? You have a dog? Does your dog love you? Yeah, yeah. Well, if he doesn't, you're doing something wrong. Some of you probably have a fish that loves you. Yeah, in its own fishy way. You know, as soon as you come and go like this, it's coming to you. That might not be love, but you have cats, you have gerbils. I bet they love you. You know what? You have people in your life that love you, right? Yeah, they love you. You have mom and a dad who love you. You have grandmas and grandpas who love you. You have friends who love you. You have some coaches maybe that love you in a way that they can express that love by coaching you and helping you. You have all kinds of people who love you. You have Sunday school teachers who love you. And this morning, as you were in your Sunday school classes, you got to know, maybe for the first time, you were introduced to your Sunday school teacher, or you knew that person before. They want to express their love to you. They love you a lot. But you know what? They and all of these other people combined, even your mom and your dad, don't love you as much as God loves you. We want you to know that you're loved in this place. You're loved by all these people here. Brothers and sisters, yes, they love you. Moms and dads love you. Grandmas and grandpas love you. Even some of these people who you don't even know, they love you. But they don't love you as much as God loves you. In fact, God loves you so much. I want to try and show you how much God loves you. So I need Linnea to help me. Linnea, will you help me a minute? Come here a minute. I have something that I'm going to use to show, kind of help you see how much God loves you. So Linnea, I need you just to sit right here on the floor. Okay? And God loves to shower His love on us. He loves to give us as much love as we can handle. And frankly, He gives us more than we can handle. So I want to be kind of like God. I want to stand over Linnea, and I want to show you how much God loves you. And this right here, this little thing that I have in my hand right here, is an expression of God's love. And I want you to see how much God loves Linnea. God loves Linnea so much that He just loves to shower His love all over her, and it just keeps coming and coming and coming. And He will give as much as He has love. All that He wants to do is shower love on us, and so that we might experience abundance of His joy and all that He has for us. And you know what? It keeps coming. Even when you think it's gone, God's love will keep coming and coming and coming. We want you to know that God loves you more than this even. He loves you so much that He will keep giving you love. Don't we have a great God? Amen. The great God who loves us so much. So, all right, Linnea, I want you... Oh, careful, careful. I want you to feel like God is just covering you. And I want each one of you to have this feeling. When you come to church on Sunday mornings and Sunday school classes, that every time you come, you will come expecting God to pour out His love on you. That's why we're here as a church. And on this Sunday where we start Sunday school and all this ministry to you, we just want you to know above all that God loves you very, very much. Okay? So, Linnea, do you think you can take that out? Can you carry that out of here? Psalm 127:3 says this, "Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord, the fruit of the womb, a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior are the children of one's youth. Blessed is the man, or the church, who fills his quiver with them." And here's the reason. "He shall not be put to shame when he speaks with his enemies in the gate." We've been blessed from the Lord, haven't we? With a wonderful reward of children in our church. We've got a quiver full of kids in our fellowship, in our body. Look around you. If we were to say, "Okay, kids, I want you all to go outside," you know who would be left here? Probably about half of us left in this room. Because God has blessed us, and we're, our quiver is growing. And for that reason, we have a great responsibility. To whom much is given, much is required. And so on this, our Christian education's kickoff celebration Sunday, I thought it would be helpful for us to consider the question, why is ministry to children so important? What we celebrate today is one aspect of ministry to children in our church. A healthy, vibrant, God-centered Sunday school is vitally important to the discipleship of our youth. And I hope by the time we're done, you'll agree with me that the investment that Sunday school teachers are making and that parents are making in getting our young people here is extremely important. But it's not the extent of what I mean by ministry to children. Bible instruction class, Thrive activities, Fusion gatherings, soccer clinics, boat trips to the San Juans, singing groups, Christmas programs, the Loganberry Festival, even all of these efforts do not encompass the most important ministry to children that takes place for these kids. All these things are only complements to what you, as parents and grandparents, extended family and friends, must do on a daily, hourly, yes, even moment by moment basis of impacting these kids. We're not here just today celebrating Sunday school. I don't want you to think that the three reasons that I'm about to give you to answer this question of why ministry to children is so important is just a pep talk for Sunday school teachers. That's not what this is. This is about our understanding as a body, as a church. This is about our understanding as parents and adults that ministry to children is absolutely essential and absolutely important. You're a mom, you're a dad, you're a grandpa, an uncle or an aunt, whatever role you're called to in life, you have impact. You have opportunity. You have the potential to influence the next generation. And it's critically important that we understand why. Why is this so important? What's the value? What's the priority? What will drive the commitment to make ministry to children in your life, the children around you, important? I want to give you three reasons from the Word of God this morning to answer this question why it's so important. Number one, it's so important so that the glory of God might not be forgotten. The glory of God's actions, the glory of God's character must never be forgotten. And so it's extremely important that we take, as a church, this ministry to children very seriously. Mom, dad, grandma, grandpa, aunt, uncle, adult, you must take this very seriously because the glory of God is at stake here. And we must not let it be forgotten. You've heard the saying, Christianity is only one generation from extinction. And in a very real way, there's some truth to that. Remember what happened to the people of Israel in Egypt? It was the generation that forgot Joseph that became oppressors over the people of Israel. When you forget the benefits, the benevolence, and the beauty of a ruler and his ways, what happened to the people of Israel was that they became oppressed. They became enslaved. When we forget the glory, the beauty, the wonder, the benevolence, the benefits of a God who loves us so much, and we forget Him, we become enslaved. We will become enslaved. We will become oppressed. So it is vitally important that this next generation does not forget the glory of God. David, the great king of Israel, probably Israel's greatest king in their history, said these words, "Seek the Lord in His strength." This is 1 Chronicles 16:11-12. "Seek the Lord in His strength. Seek His presence continually. Remember the wondrous works that He has done, His miracles and the judgments He uttered. O offspring of Israel, His servant, sons of Jacob, His chosen ones." If you were here during the Sunday school time, you heard Jenny Richmond share from Psalm 78. I encourage you to Psalm 78. Write it in your notes. Turn to it in your Bibles here for a moment. And listen to these words of the psalmist Asaph as he encourages the people to sing and to worship God. He says, "Give ear, O my people, to my teaching. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings from of old, things that we have heard and known that our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, but tell them to the coming generation. The glorious deeds of the Lord and His might and the wonders that He has done. He established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel which He commanded for our fathers to teach their children, that the next generation might know them, the children yet unborn, and arise and tell them to their children, so that they should set their hope in God, keep His commandments, and that they should not be like their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation whose heart was not steadfast, whose spirit was not faithful to God." Why is it so important that we minister to children, that we take our youth and we make them a focus, telling them the greatness of God's works and His hand, His actions and His character, is so that they might not forget them and so that they might put their hope in Him. The story of creation must never be forgotten. It reveals the glorious truth that God is personal and powerful, sovereign and without limit. All the stories of God's interventions must not be forgotten. Moses crossing the Red Sea, Gideon miraculously overcome the Midianites, David killing the giant Goliath, Jesus healing blind Bartimaeus, the raising of Jairus' daughter and Lazarus and Tabitha. These stories of God's interventions must not be forgiven because they show us that God is a God who hears prayers. He's a God who acts on behalf of those who humble themselves before Him. He's compassionate. He's concerned that we live in a fallen, decaying, corrupt world that needs His intervention. All those stories of God's judgment, the flood in Noah's day, the plagues in Pharaoh's day, the marching around Jericho in Joshua's day, the massacre of King Ahab's 70 sons in Jehu's day, the fire at Mount Carmel in Elijah's day, the cleansing of the temple in Jesus' day, the great white throne judgment in the last day, all display the glory of God's holiness and the seriousness with which He takes and deals with the problem of our sin. These things must not be forgotten. All the stories of God speaking, from God's walking and talking with Adam and Eve in the garden to His calling account Cain and his actions, to the call of Abraham, to the call of Moses at the burning bush, and to the ways in which He spoke to Moses on Mount Sinai, giving him all the commandments and all that was revealed there, to Samuel in Eli's house, to the inspiration of David's Psalms, to the many prophets, "Thus saith the Lord," to the Word becoming flesh and dwelling among us, full of grace, full of truth. All of these reveal God's heart to make known His will and His ways, even though His ways and His thoughts are far above ours. His ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. Still, the glory of God has inspired 40 different authors to write over thousands of years about His glory. He has spoken His Word to us. He has revealed His will to us. And that must never be forgotten. It's a part of His glory, and all the details of every story filled with so much emotion, never glossing over all of the human failures, exposing all of man's weaknesses, and exalting all of God's greatness. All these things must be shared with the next generation so that the glory of God might not be forgotten. And all these stories must point to the greatest demonstration of God's glory, our salvation through Jesus Christ alone. We must tell these stories to this next generation because the glory of the cross must never be forgotten. The glory of Christ, the one through whom all things were created, intervening on our behalf to defeat our greatest foe, the bondage of sin and the sting of death. The glory of Jesus, absorbing all the judgment that we deserved, and then rising again to proclaim, to speak forth the reality, the sure hope for all who put their faith in Him. This must never be forgotten. This is why ministry to children is absolutely necessary, so that this glory of Jesus will never be forgotten. And as Psalm 78 says, we will not hide them from their children, but tell to the coming generation the glorious deeds of the Lord and His might and the wonders that He has done, that the next generation might know them, and that the children yet unborn might be told and tell them to their children, so that they should set their hope in God. So, for the sake of the next generation's hope, we minister the glory of God. Secondly, we do this. We minister to children. We pass on to the next generation. We pour ourselves into the youth who follow us, so that the church of God might not be ill-equipped. As we look into the faces of these young people, we must have the ability to see beyond what they are right now and envision who they will be in the future. Kids, I'm talking to you right now. Okay? I want you looking at me. Okay, all you kids, when I look into your eyes, do you know what I see? When I look at you, when I look at who you are, when I think about who you're going to become, do you know what I see? I see the church's next Sunday school teachers. I see the church's next missionaries going out. I see you being the ones who are going to be the preachers and the teachers of this word. That's what I see when I look at you. I look at you and I think, there's a young man who's going to grow up to be an elder in a church. There's a young woman who's going to serve in the lives of many around her and display what it means to love Jesus with all your heart. I look at you and I see you as the ones who are going to take, when you're adults, you're going to encounter adults who have never been entrusted with what you have been entrusted with. They've never understood these great lessons from He established a testimony, or becoming more like Jesus, or walking in the will of God, in these lessons that you're going to get throughout these next years of your life. They haven't been entrusted with Bible instruction classes that show them what it means to understand doctrine and why it's so important. Why is baptism a reality in church and communion so important to the life and the health of the body? Well, they don't understand the process in which a person comes to confessing their sin and understanding that God, who loves them, desires for them to embrace Him, knows that sin separates them, has sent Jesus to die for them, and that in faith you can receive reconciliation and be restored with Him. There are millions of people, millions of adults, who don't have what you have. And so when I look into your eyes, kids, when I look at your lives, and when I look at what lays for you in the future, I say, we need to invest in you because you are the church. So it's important. Let me show you. Come with me to 2 Timothy chapter 3. Let me show you again from God's Word why this is so important. There's another reason here. The church of God needs to be well equipped. Follow along as I read, starting verse 1. But understand this. Paul's writing to Timothy, a young preacher in Ephesus, his disciple. And he's saying to him, but understand this, Timothy, that in the last days there will come times of difficulty. For people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having the appearance of godliness but denying its power. Avoid such people. For among them are those who creep into households and capture weak women, burdened with sins and led astray by various passions, always learning and never able to arrive at a knowledge of the truth. That sound familiar? That's a pretty accurate description of the world out there, isn't it? And that's what we're living in. That's what our young people are entering into. They need to be well equipped for this. So what does Paul say to Timothy? Verse 10. You, speaking to Timothy, however, have followed my teaching, my conduct, my aim in life, my faith, my patience, my love, my steadfastness, my persecutions and sufferings that happened to me in Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, which persecutions I endured. Yet from them all the Lord rescued me. Indeed, all who desire to live a godly life, Timothy, and all you young people, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, while evil people and imposters will go on from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for the training in righteousness, so that the man of God might be thoroughly equipped for every good work. How is this achieved? How is it that young people become thoroughly equipped for every good work? It's achieved through the following of Paul's example of people around them who have lived the life of faith and are fighting that fight for faith, and they're walking in it. And it also comes through the continual teaching of the doctrines of God taught through them from childhood, from youth. From the beginning, we teach them God. We teach them theology. We don't dumb it down. We make it real for them, but we don't dumb it down. We help them understand the magnitude of who God is and what He's accomplishing in the world today through a constant exposure to the Word of God. Because it's able to save, it's able to teach, it's able to correct, it's able to rebuke, it's able to bring about righteousness and bring about a people who are thoroughly equipped for every good work. This is why you kids are so valuable to us here. You are a group of people in our body who have gifts. This is why we don't send all of you off into another room to be entertained during this time. Because we believe that you can understand the deep truths of God. We believe that it was necessary for you to learn from your parents as they teach you and model for you what it means to worship in this setting, what it means to be a part of the body of Christ. This is why we want you engaged. This is why I'm so thankful for young people who are leading us in worship. I'm so thankful for young people who are taking the offering, who are stuffing the bulletins, who are helping with refreshments, who are serving, setting up tables, tearing down tables. You're a part of the body. You are Christ's body. And you need to be equipped. And we, parents, we, adults, grandparents, we need to invest in these lives. We want you engaged. We want you a part of the life of this body. And we want you to understand the theological truths that will enable you to give the reasons why you do what you do in this body. It grieves my heart when I hear percentages that the majority of youth in our Christian culture abandon the church when they get through high school. Much of ministry in contemporary churches today is geared toward entertainment. You know what? It's not always fun. Life. It's hard work. It needs the undergirding of solid biblical doctrine to help you understand why you do what you do. And it needs to be embraced early in your lives. And so, our desire as a church is to minister to you in such a way that you do not become a part and victims of what Paul describes here in 2 Timothy 3. There are unholy, heartless, slanderous, brutal, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit people out there. And they will absorb you in. They will call you in. They will draw you in. You go to any university campus and you talk to Christians and you talk to them about the realities of the difficulties of what it means to live in the throes and in the heart of that kind of culture. We want you well equipped. We want you able to be standing in that culture, speaking forth truth. And so, we must minister to this generation. Finally, I would say my last reason that this is so important is so that the commission of God might not go unfinished. As Christians, as the Church of Jesus Christ, we've been given a task. We've been told a command from the head, from the Lord Jesus Himself. He has said, go into all the world and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, teaching them all that I have commanded you. And here's the promise, I will be with you always to the end of the age. That's our task. This is our responsibility. God has entrusted to us the responsibility of going to the nations, of going to the places, to the people who have not heard, of going to those who are right next door who need to be ministered the gospel of Jesus Christ, who need to be taught what it means to follow Christ. Why? Because it's beautiful. It's wonderful. It's abundant life. It's joyful. It's peaceful. It's satisfying to know Jesus. They need to know that. We've been given the commission. We've been commanded. It's not an option. And so we must invest. We must minister to the next generation if that task is going to be completed, because there will come a time where we will hand off that baton unless the Lord tarries. Unless the Lord comes, we will hand that baton off to the next generation. And we must have as a driving reality in our hearts that task must not go unfinished. It must be finished. I've been fortunate enough to see the fruit of our efforts in taking this ministry to children seriously over the last 17 years. August, the first Sunday of August, was our 17th year anniversary, Lisa and I, of being ministering here in this church. And we have been able to watch. Brianna was 18 months old when we came. Now she's 18, she's a lot bigger, and I'm a lot grayer. But through the period of 17 years, I've had the opportunity to watch children grow up into young adults and move in the will of God. Joanna Heflinger would have been what 17 years ago? 10? Is she? No, she would have been younger than that. 4. Okay, so Joanna Call, 4 years old. Where's Joanna Call today? She's in Republic, Washington, giving her life to Youth Dynamics. I just, in a kind of a mental thing, started going through some of the kids, some of the young people now. And I'm going to recall to you names and listen to the places that these young people have gone. Josh Wenzik. He's been to Ukraine, he's been to Zambia, he's been to Mexico. Alicia Hagen's been to Cameroon. Paul Hagen's been to Thailand. I'm going to forget some of these, where they've been. Jacob and Rachel Gardner have been to Thailand, to Burma. Jake and Joanna have been to Thailand, to Burma, to New York. Now they're in Republic. Amber Albritton has been to Ukraine, to the Dominican Republic. Jennifer Boyer's been to Mexico. Chris and Jessica Boblitz. Chris and Jessica Marshall, who Jessica Boblitz was. Been to Mexico, been to New York, been to Uganda. Connie Stark's been to New York City. Grant and Rachel Walker have been to New York City, to Mexico. Rhett Walker's been to New York City and to Mexico. Sean Coombs has been to Mexico. Mitch has been to Mexico and Zambia. Ann Hepler has just went to Mexico. Ian Boblitz and Josh LaPointe have just come back from the Philippines. Brianna, right now, as I speak, is in Romania. And I've left a lot of you out. I'm sorry. Do you see a progression? Do you see what happens when God gets a hold of hearts? People go. And I hope and pray that from our church will rise up a passion for the lost in the nations and a passion for a lost right here. Because I believe as you go, you gain a greater passion for the lost when you come back. And as you understand the passion for the lost right here, you have a passion for those who are there. It's not an either-or issue. It's a both-and. The Lord Jesus said, you know, go. When the Holy Spirit's going to come in power and you're going to go to Jerusalem, go to Judea, go to Samaria, go to the under ends of the earth. It's an all-encompassing commission. It doesn't mean that we just focus on them there. We focus on us here. And as we focus on them there, we will understand the greatness of what we can do here, because there is a commission that needs to be finished. And my point is, and all this is simply how important it is for us to have this kind of legacy, to practice this. And if we can't go there, then let's bring them here. From Ethiopia, or Haiti, or Liberia. So that someday, God may call them back to Ethiopia and Haiti and to Liberia, or wherever else God wants to call them from, and that we might bless them and fill them and equip them to fulfill this great task. How will your children do in the coming days? Parents, how are they going to do? How are they going to respond to the opportunities and challenges of the future? We don't know what the next generation has to face. It may be financial ruin. It may be conflict. It may be horrific what comes ahead of us. Or it may be incredible prosperity that we have not even experienced yet. How will they handle that? They could be elevated to places of tremendous influence and power. How will they handle that? Will they see the education that they are given, they are entrusted to, that's entrusted to them? Will they understand that that is a tremendous opportunity that and responsibility that they have to be used by God in the nations around the world? Or will they coast in life, being swept along the current the present culture, unable to determine really what is true and what is important, unable to really embrace what is valuable eternally? These are the questions that we as parents, we as a church, must continually be asking in order for us to fulfill this great responsibility. We have a full quiver. They're arrows. Will they be straight? Will they shoot straight? Will they hit the mark? Will they never forget the glory of God? Will they be fully equipped for every good work? And will they embrace this great adventure of a life, fulfilling a mission to glorify Jesus Christ and make Him known to all who have never heard Him? Let's pray. Father, it is our desire It is our desire to respond with yes and amen to this great task of ministering to the next generation. God, we honor You. We give You all the credit and all the glory for what we have experienced in the present and in the past. All that has taken place and all the fulfillment of Your promises, all the ways in which You have demonstrated Your trustworthiness, You deserve all credit and all glory. We humbly submit to the realities that You have called us to participate with You. And so we embrace that calling with joy, knowing that You who begin a good work in us will bring it to its completion. And so we pray, bring it on. Fulfill Your will. Accomplish Your purposes. May Your glory never be forgotten. May our church be well equipped. And Lord, may we gladly embrace the mission of proclaiming Jesus Christ to the nations, to the lost, to the least. And may You fill us with Your Spirit to accomplish that, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to close with a hymn. I'm going to invite you to stand with us.
I love to tell the story of unseen things above, of Jesus and His glory, of Jesus and His love. I love to tell the story because I know 'tis true. It satisfies my longings as nothing else can do. I love to tell the story. 'Twill be my theme in glory to tell the old, old story of Jesus and His love.
Lord, it's my prayer that we be those who seem to hunger and thirst to hear it again, and that we would have in our senses this tremendous desire to never forget the glory of Christ. This story, may it be a story that we love more and more and more. A story that we love not only for our own benefit, but for the benefit of those who've never heard it. So teach us what it means, Lord, to invest in a generation to come so that the story may never be forgotten. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You're dismissed.